With the community that I reached out to proactively, it's run by this guy named Rolf Bernischke. He was a NFL kicker, had his colon removed, lost like 65 pounds. But after his ostomy, he kicked in the NFL for 7 years. So I reached out to them because I was like, you know, there's not many people I can talk to that get the ins and outs of this. I think just sharing my story has just been really beneficial because I would never have been able to, you know, connect with somebody like that.
Welcome back to Mom, You're Embarrassing Me. I'm Jordan Wick.
And I'm Michelle Spar.
And today we've got a super special guest joining us. But first, please make sure you're subscribing, liking, and commenting on our videos. So Mom, take it away.
Oh boy, we went right into that, didn't we? Didn't you want to tell them that they need to like forward along and subscribe and
that's what I just did. Down there? Oh yeah, down here, guys.
That's right. That little button down here. Just push that button. So by the end of this episode, you are going to want to be forwarding this on to everyone because our guest today is Rob Nunnery. He is pro pickleball player. He's a coach, commentator, podcaster, and thriving entrepreneur. Not only has he racked up 19 pro titles, but he's also been open about his journey with Crohn's disease. And I feel like I was excited to talk with you, Rob, because we have to change how we do things from when we're training for pickleball, going pro like myself. Like I'm like the next Rob.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I'm like the mini Rob, the female version of Rob.
Yeah. The older.
And that's right. The older version. That's
more ghostly
rude.
Version.
A more ghostly, paler version of Rob.
Just a camera.
But you've also been really open about your new way of life. Now you now have an ostomy and just learning how to compete and being able to live with that new normal. And we're just really looking forward to hearing your journey there and how you're coming back strong.
Yeah, this is honestly my first podcast that I've done as a guest since all of that's kind of happened. So I really appreciate you having me on.
No, thank you. We feel very lucky to have you here. So thank you. Thank you.
So we want to get to know you a little bit more and for our fans as well. So can you just give us a quick little elevator pitch on who you are, kind of your journey with pickleball in life and where you are now?
Yeah, I found pickleball at the very end of 2019. The very first day I played, I, like many people, was hooked immediately. And I was like, this game's frustrating. This game's fun. I want to get better. I don't want to lose to old people. And so I went home that very day and was just like, okay, looked at YouTube. I was like, okay. And at that time, like when you pull up pickleball on YouTube, it was mainly the US Open and, you know, under that covered court in Naples. And so I watched that. I was like, these guys look pretty good, but I think I can do that maybe if I practice for a while. So I made an Instagram post saying I'm going to go pro in a year. And obviously early 2020 COVID hit, but I was able to play a couple of tournaments early in 2020 and kind of get that road started. And then, believe it or not, I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, we actually had tournaments at the end of 2020, even though, you know, COVID was in full force. Like, I think there was an APP tournament in like September or something. So I was still able to like start playing pro tournaments even through COVID a little bit. And yeah, I've been doing it full time ever since, and obviously achieved that initial goal of being a pro player. And the way I kind of like laid out the barometer for that, because a lot of people would say like I play pro pickleball, right? Because they signed up for a pro draw. So
we have a lot of friends like that.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Quasi.
But I was just like, if I earn money in a pro tournament, and then I can start doing this and only doing this. That's kind of the gauge of like, did I do it?
So. Yeah. It's funny because I was going to ask you about this because I heard an interview where you talked about that within a year you were going to go pro. And I thought that was so cool. And here you are. So you brought it up. You beat me to it. I was like, oh, he's never going to realize that I have this.
Yeah.
I did my research for this one.
Yeah,
here.
Look at that. I mean, hey.
You know, you just took it all away from me, though. And now,
sorry, I stole your thunder.
I was very excited. I said, Jordan, watch this. He's going to be like super fan right here. okay, well, we're going to get the hardest question out of the way here.
Yeah.
It might be the weirdest too, so don't be like
alarmed. Yeah. Just so you know what you've gotten yourself into here. So so we only have two chairs in our studio. So if you were here with us in person, you would have to pick a lap to sit on. So whose would it be? Jordan's or mine?
I think I do one cheek on each leg.
I feel like you researched us too.
Not at all, but that's my honest answer.
Okay, you have a half a cheek now.
Perfect. I'm down like 4-0. Everyone picks my mom. So you know what?
Oh.
That is a big step up for me.
So 3.5 to 1/2 here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's too good.
Perfect. We love it.
I like that question.
Yeah. So it was funny. You were kind of going back to your Instagram post and how you were almost like manifesting your own destiny in that, right? You're like, okay, this is what I have as my goal. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it on Instagram, hold myself accountable. And when I DM'd you, I slipped into your DMs, as we like to say, slipped into your DMs, just ask you if you would come on our podcast. Later that night, I told my husband, I was like, you know, I just feel like that something amazing is going to happen tomorrow. I was like, I don't know what it is. I just feel like something amazing is going to happen tomorrow. And then I woke up and you had responded and said you were coming on. And I'm like, I knew it.
Yeah.
And then I called Jordan up. I was like, I apparently he has not looked into us at all.
Yeah, this is a hot mess over here.
That was a really quick yes. And we at that point, we had not even interviewed anybody.
Yeah.
Now we have John Sperling under our belt, but he was a good warm up.
Yeah, that
wasn't. Nice. That was your first interview. It's just been you guys kind of just riffing.
Yeah, I mean, we've only done like 4, so.
Okay. Yeah, we're new to the podcast. But,
yeah.
I will
but,
say.
You know, our fans were just demanding it. So.
Gotta get what the fans want, you know?
Yeah.
Don't want to disappoint them.
No, but honestly, looking at I did like see clips of the pod and it was just like, oh, this production's way better than anything I've ever done. So you guys got instant credibility by like being on a couch. It seemed like, yeah, you guys are filming this way better than I could.
Oh, perfect. Go on.
Thank you.
Hype us up, Rob. Hype us up.
So speaking of podcasts, I know you've gone, you've had a few that you've done throughout your career. One of them was Freestyle Boys, right? With Casey Patterson, right?
Originally Ben, but then it moved to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, Casey is a volleyball player,
mm-hmm.
as I am. So I like to kind of take those nuggets from him, because I was just making the transition from volleyball to pickleball, and so I enjoyed being able to get some of that.
Everybody that played volleyball loved that. Then everybody else that played pickleball and didn't play volleyball were like, okay, we're tired of the volleyball rep.
Yeah. like
we get there's crossover, but stop it.
Yeah. But yeah. But then you also, It Feels Right with Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the other one that I love that one. Are you guys still doing that?
No, sadly, we are not.
Is this like where you're telling me maybe you need to do a little bit more research on?
No, because literally this is the first time I've ever said that. So like,
we
can bleep it if you want.
No. Hey, look, breaking news. Breaking news.
We're going to make this into a little social clip.
Now everybody knows. Yeah. So no, it was a good run with Adam. He's the man. I love doing it with him. And well, let's not clip that. I love doing the podcast with him.
Okay. He knows what kind of show he's on.
But there's just, a lot going on. And also there's just a split in terms of, he's very focused on the PPA and MLP and UPA. And that's not really my world anymore. I'm focused on international and APP. And it was just a little bit of too much of a conflict, I guess. So we've decided to not do it. But I'm like through Selkirk. Selkirk was the one that was publishing, distributing, editing the podcast. So I am shifting into something that I think people will also enjoy, which is doing like match review and analysis. So, mm-hmm. you know, people always like to see like, okay, what are the thoughts on like how to actually get better? And yeah. from what we've seen, that's most of the market doesn't really care about, you know, hearing about our lives, which is odd because I think it's interesting, but they want to know how to get better at pickleball, which fair.
Yeah. So what you're saying is we were going to ask your advice, which was how do we get to a million subscribers? We're at 125 right now. So we're well on our way.
Yeah. Hey.
So maybe we shouldn't be asking you that yet.
Well, look, everybody starts somewhere. Yeah. Mr. B started with 0-2.
Yeah. Look at him now.
Yeah. You're on your way. That's no, but right. honestly, you guys have personality. You know, not everybody does. People that try to do content sometimes just, you know, either you can or you can't.
Yeah.
That's the hard part about a podcast too, is like, we're like, people don't want to hear about our lives. Like we have to bring it like some, you know, advice and lessons and get people on. Like when we had John on, our views rocketed. So we're like, okay, we'll just have a guest every time now, I guess.
Well, it's smart because it does. It gets like, you can leverage their audience and it's a great way to do it. And you get to meet 100%. New people and fun people. Yeah. So it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you're doing Behind the Paddle, mm-hmm. right? On the Selkirk.
Yep. Behind the Paddle. It's basically just, and like I told you, Michelle, surprise, this is also a Behind the Paddle episode. So you can ask me all the questions now, but I'm going to grill you guys in a little bit.
Look at the time.
Because Behind the Paddle is basically just talking to people that are building things within the sport of pickleball. And you guys obviously are, and it's really cool. So I want to hear more about how you guys got into it eventually. So we can dive into that.
We're not used to being the interviewees. Yep. John tried to flip the script on us mm-hmm. too, and it didn't go over very well for him. So warning.
Okay, I'm going to try.
Let's see how good of an interviewer you actually are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
No pressure. They might be hiring us after this.
Subjects. Yeah, maybe.
Like Rob's out. Michelle, Jordan, what you got going on?
That would be awesome. Sorry, Rob. I might have to take it from you.
All right. Hey.
No. We'll give you some advice though if you need it from time.
Please.
All right. So we're gonna let you go ahead. We're gonna talk about some of the things that you have rightfully reasons to brag about. You wanna talk to him about his
19 pro titles, MLB championships, you were ranked number one men's double, an APP tour in 2023-2024. So which of those kind of made you lose your mind? Which was like the greatest achievement out of those things for you?
Oh, you know, it's kind of probably the, you know, being ranked one on the APP, just purely because it was in the last couple of years. And it was really like MLP, like when I won MLP, it was pre like Crohn's symptoms. And I think the last couple of years have been really, really difficult trying to play and compete with also battling a bunch of surgeries and stuff from Crohn's. So the fact that I was able to, compete without really training too much, like I couldn't really practice because I didn't have if I practiced, I would be out like completely. So I'd just show up to tournaments like a day early, try to get as good a practice as I could, and then compete the best I could. Luckily to have, really good partners that honestly probably carried me to most of it. But it was, I think what I'm most proud of is just being able to, and honestly, winning is great, but even just like having the strength and kind of fortitude to just compete and play the tournaments, even though I was struggling. Because it was like, if I didn't have pickleball and I wasn't playing tournaments, I feel like I would have just lost my mind because I would just only be focused on my health. And it was like, as hard as it was through those times, it was just a good mental outlet to not think about the health stuff and the hard stuff. So
yeah,
it's a good outlet.
I started, just recently started a blog, and it was actually a lot of it was because I was reading what you were putting out there. And I just loved it. And it completely inspired me. Just like you said, it's just like you're having to change what that journey was for you, especially before all of your symptoms started coming or where it was affecting your play. And I feel like I'm still trying to figure all of that out. It's just like, okay, how can I do it without overtaxing myself? Yeah. Because like you said, you couldn't do training, you know, 4 hard days in a row and then expect to go into a tournament, because then at that point you're going to be feeling crappy. At least
100%.
That's how I would.
Yeah. So. She doesn't really know her boundaries when we play either. She'll be like, my arms are like, I can't feel my arm. I'm going blind in my left eye. And I'm like, should we stop the game? I just keep going.
I'm like, no, we're not walking away from this. We are finishing the game. Yeah. I say that a lot, but yeah, it's a whole new norm.
But
yeah.
The mental part of pickleball, I feel like that has helped you so much to keep yourself busy. You're not focusing so much on, you know, your symptoms with MS and
so. That is what I was going to actually, thank you for reminding me, because this whole brain fog thing too, I was on one track and then I forgot what I was going to say. But yes, that's what you said, is that had I gone through all of this prior to having pickleball, I think I would be mentally in a much weaker, or, you know, and not a great spot.
Yeah, it's been a great outlet, truly.
Yeah. Just like dealing with a diagnosis and having that support system is something to take you to Jordan's point, take your mind off of it. And
yeah, I don't know about for you, but it's been the mental side and like emotional side's been really, really difficult too, outside of just the physical. It's especially pre-diagnosis. When were you diagnosed?
3 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So I was 2 years ago. And before, I didn't really know like what was happening. And I just knew that I was in pain, and I would go see doctors and surgeons, and they just were like, yeah, we don't know. So that was, I think for me, that was the hardest part, is just like the uncertainty of knowing like, what is this and will it ever go away? Because this is impossible to live with if I keep going like this. So just having some certainty in terms of like, okay, what is it? I'm not the only person in the world that's had this. So what is the treatment plan? How can we start, you know, working on this? And then you feel like you have, even though it's a long road and like a tough road, and for Crohn's, it'll never go away. And you at least have like a game plan moving forward, and you feel like less like lost. So that was a big deal for me.
Yeah. For me, it was like, okay, that's my opponent. I just needed to have a name to it. I needed to have it and not just this unknown. So totally. Now that I know what I'm battling, bring it on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Not that it's easy all the time to say that, but you know, at least you have something. Yep. But the other thing is, so one of the blog posts that I'm working on right now is, I don't know if you've heard, Teddy Roosevelt has one about, you know, man in the arena.
Man in the arena,
which I just absolutely just love it. But what helped you to get back in the arena, especially after your surgeries and...
Yeah. You mean like in terms of the arena being the actual pickleball court and like,
I think it's easy for us to, when we have something blow, whether it be grief or whether it be a medical diagnosis for myself, I just kind of want to hide sometimes and not get back out there.
Yeah.
And then to say, no, get your ass up, get out the door, get out there or back on the pickleball court for you and for myself. Yeah. A lot of it was that I can't compete at that same level that I had prior, but I mean, I'm determined too, and it sounds like you are as well, but
no, yeah, I feel the others. Same. I think my default is like a go, go, go type. Just like that's me to my core, is like always wanting to work towards something. But what I have found through like especially post colostomy is that like that it's not super effective all the time. Even though it's like my mind wants to go, like my body sometimes like just won't let me. And then there's a stretch last week where it was like 3 or 4 days where like I like struggled with motivation to even get out of bed and to like, there's like that stuff still happening even post surgery. And I would say more of it's, I'd say more mental than like, there's a lot of stuff I'm just trying to reckon with still. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't want to go too deep. This is not therapy, but but there have just been many times where this is going to sound like maybe tough, but like the kind of the word that just keeps coming back is like broken. And that's around like obviously my body not functioning like I would hope it would. And there's other layers to it too, but like it's, and it, that's tough to get out of sometimes, but you know, I talk to a therapist each week. I'm doing the things that I need to do. I'm journaling, I'm writing, I'm trying to get like all of the stuff that's like weighing me down outside of my head. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like if I just hold it in, and sometimes I do hold it in, like there's days where I don't want to talk to anybody and I don't want to share anything. I just want to, you know, crawl into a hole somewhere. But I do notice that like when I do share and I do like put myself out there and I do talk to people, that it lightens the load a little bit. And it's not always easy to do that. Like it's tough. Like even writing the newsletter that I write and talk about kind of some of the stuff I'm going through is tough. Mm-hmm. But I do notice that, you know, people are super kind and nice and they reach out, and and sometimes it helps somebody else, even though I'm just like talking about my own stuff. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I just trying to put one foot in front of the other.
If you like went back and like looked at all my past Facebook posts since I was diagnosed, I'm very much like that. Number one, I was angry, like my body has betrayed me, you know, and I've had health issues in the past. I had cancer. I had some other autoimmune stuff, you know, decades ago. And so I was just like, gosh, darn it, here we go again. You know, it kind of pissed me off a little bit. Yeah. But I've been very open about it because I kind of need I need someone to DM me every now and then, just say, hey girl, I'm so proud of you. Look at you go. Yeah. And when I don't feel like hearing it, or I can't deal with that, then I just don't look a social for a while, you know,
I feel like that's why we started this podcast too. Like I lost my dad in an accident
three and a half years ago.
And so I'm dealing with grief, and pickleball has brought me a lot of joy through that. And, you know, having those tough days of like not wanting to talk to people, or, you know, battling your own demons, sometimes it's important to talk about it. And I feel like that's one of our main concepts, is like being open about hard topics for people to then relate with us. And so I think that's brought us a lot of, you know, reassurance that this, we might not have a lot of people listening, but for those people who are listening,
those 128 people
that we go through tough things in life, and, you know, life isn't all rainbows and butterflies. And so we battle things that people don't usually think that we do. And just because it's not, well, for me, because it's not physical, it's a lot of mental. And so kind of digging yourself out of that hole, whether it's like a few inches some days or a few feet some days, it's important. So
yeah. Well, you guys are doing it right. I mean, you're sharing real stuff, and I'd be shocked if your podcast doesn't grow to being something.
1 million.
Yeah, 1 million.
Even if it's 125 people, it's like, you know, that's 125 people that you're impacting. And think about, like, I always like to think about, like, imagine if you guys were sitting on that couch and you had like 125 people sitting in front of you, like real people, right? Yeah. Like how cool is that?
Yeah.
So well said. I like that.
I never thought of it like that. I'm just like, these people just tune in and but no, that's a good way of putting it. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, all of a sudden we feel very good about ourselves.
We are feeling
great. This is actually therapy for us. Okay. You're actually getting really involved in the your community, those with Crohn's disease. How are you getting involved in that? Or what are you doing to get yourself more involved? And
just really sharing about it. And I've had some people reach out and like want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And there's one community that I reached out to proactively, and I think it's called Team Hope. But I initially found it because I was searching pro athletes with ostomies, and there's really like there's a lot of endurance athletes, like triathletes, people that run marathons, people that are just really, really good endurance athletes. But there's not any in like reaction based sports or like fast twitch type sports. And I was just like, and that's something that's been really prevalent lately that I've been thinking about. It's like yesterday I had a really hard day. I went in practice. It's very hot in Florida right now. Like it was mid 90s and crazy humidity. Mm. And I got like 15 minutes in and I could barely stand. Like I'm cut from the same cloth as you, Michelle. And I just kept going, obviously. Because why would I stop?
Right? I'm here.
But literally like paddle on the ground in between points. I could barely like keep my head up, but had some guys out there that I told I would play with, because I taught a clinic to them last week and it was like, we didn't get to play. So I was like, I'll play with you. We'll do it. And then I just felt like I had to keep going just because I felt bad that they all came out. And, but that was the first time where I was just like, maybe there's a reason there aren't any pro athletes with ostomies in these kind of sports where it's a lot of twisting and lunging mm-hmm. and reaching. And it was the first time where I've really like been like, maybe my body just won't let me do this. Like maybe it won't. And that's like hard to say and hard to think about because I love pickleball so much and I love competing at such a high level. And it's been a big part of my life for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Been my whole life for the last 5 years, more or less. So that like truly, like I'm still trying to like process it and reckon with it because this was just yesterday. And it was, I've just really noticed it mainly in the heat outside and the sun. Mm-hmm. Indoors, I seem to be okay, but I don't know. It's like the first time I really faced like maybe my body's not able to do this. And maybe there's a reason other people with ostomies aren't doing this. Like there's none, right. none in tennis, none in pickleball, none in like any of the major sports. But with this, with the community that I reached out to proactively, it's run by this guy named Rolf Bernischke, I believe it is. And he was really the only name that popped up when I searched pro athletes with ostomies. And he was a NFL kicker. He had an ostomy, lost his, like he had his colon removed, lost like 65 pounds. But after his ostomy, he kicked in the NFL for 7 years. And now he runs, basically his whole life now is kind of advocating for people with ostomies and mm-hmm. runs like a mentorship program where he pairs like somebody that has a new colostomy or new ileostomy with somebody that's been through it already. And so I reached out to them because I was like, you know, there's not many people I can talk to that get the ins and outs of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he reached out personally and like, I owe him a call this afternoon, actually. I haven't talked to him yet, but he reached out and was like, I read your story and it was really cool. And there's a lot of parallels with what I went through and would love to chat with you and kind of help you through the journey. So I think just sharing my story has been really, just been really beneficial because I would never have been able to, you know, connect with somebody like that. And
yeah.
So just, I think just sharing has kind of led to some of the advocacy stuff.
Right. Well, and there's been a rise in IBD diagnosis in young adults, from my understanding. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's getting younger and younger.
Yeah. What would you like to this population, especially those athletes, the kids that are out there playing D1 or looking down the road, like, okay, maybe I want to be a pro soccer player or a pro whatever.
Yeah.
What would you say to this kind of?
That's a good question. I'm still like in the throes of like trying to figure out is like, yeah, I'm doing it. Like I'm doing my best to do it. And I think that's all. I think that's really the only thing anybody can do is do all you can. Like if you love whatever it is you do, whether it's a sport or whether it's anything. Just don't ignore your body though. Like, you know, cause I think looking back like to childhood, I had always had kind of symptoms of Crohn's looking back hindsight, but in the moments, like it would be tough, but then they would kind of resolve and I would just carry on. And, because I remember early on when I was going through these symptoms, they were like, do you have Crohn's or does anybody in your family have Crohn's? I'm like, not that I know of. No. But I should have like just hindsight, like I'm not beating myself up over it, but I should have gotten this looked at a long, long time ago. And I just didn't. Like very similar to probably a lot of guys out there, especially who don't like going to the doctor, who don't like getting things looked at or checked out. Mm-hmm. If there's anything that's like even slightly worrisome, get it checked out because
it's just be your own advocate.
It could save you a lot of hardship. Truly.
Yeah. Yeah. People ask me all the time about, you know, my things and I just be your own advocate. You got to be your own advocate because I walk in.
Like, I'm okay. Doctor.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Like, look at you. You know, you're in great shape.
Yeah.
You know, you're athletic. You're thin. You're fine. You're like fine. And so you have to, right. Or we just think, okay, I'm invincible. I'm like, I'm fine. It'll pass.
That was a tough lesson to learn. My partner, Molly, and she is her mom's gone through a bunch of health stuff and she's 71 now. And she's always been a very, very good advocate for her mom. And, I'm just like you said, Michelle, it's just like, I'm in a little pain, but yeah. Mom was like, you were like on all fours last night. What are you talking about? You're in a little pain.
Right.
So yeah, I try to have her come to the doctor whenever I go because they get the real story from her and not from me.
Yeah.
But I have gotten better because, by you just realize that the healthcare system, they see a lot of patients, right? And unless you like really explain what's going on and explain how tough it is, they're going to just act like you're all good and move on to the next patient. So you have, like, I've never, it's a new learning curve for me in terms of self-advocacy because you have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are going to get on to happier stuff now. Unless
it's all happy.
Anything else you would like to, right. Anything you would like to add to that? Anything else that you'd want to discuss as far as?
No, that's great.
All right, let's go. So we want to talk a little bit about, you're saying that you're getting back on the APP tour. And so I know you played in the New York City Open, right? Mm-hmm. And how did you play with William?
I played with William. Okay. It's my first time playing with him. He's such a blast. He's such a good kid.
Yeah.
And I'm playing all of the APPs this year with him. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And it's nice to have kind of a steady partner where you don't have to constantly switch. And, I think between the two of us, we're going to be a tough team to beat. Especially as I kind of like gear back up and hopefully I'm able to practice and get back on court. So
yeah.
That's my intention is to play as much as I can this year, and we'll see how the body goes.
We watched him when he was in Naples playing in Naples, and we were like,
"He's fun." I was like,
"He
wow,
was fun
he
to watch."
He's a scrappy little guy.
He's a fiery little thing out there. He did. He was a blast to watch. So we're really cheering for you guys.
Yeah,
and he was one of the first ones I actually saw. Like when I was saying, I looked on YouTube to see what pickleball was all about. Like, I remember seeing a match, him and his dad played, I think, 5-0 at the US Open. Like, they might have won gold, I'm not sure. But I was like, who's this kid? He's like 13. He's so little. But pretty cool, like, full circle to now be playing with him.
That's really awesome.
So, with that, who's a player that you love watching? Besides him, obviously, but...
Maybe someone who just doesn't, you know, who isn't getting the hype they should. Like, maybe is there someone underrated?
Yeah.
Underrated. Yeah.
Maybe not.
That I like watching. I'm trying to think of like some unique styles and stuff.
Yeah. We can edit out this long.
No. You can edit out the pause, but I gotta go with Richard Livernese. He's fun to watch just because he's different.
Okay.
Like his game's fun to watch because he comes from lacrosse, so not a racket sports background, but he's just worked his tail off to get really good. And he's gotten really good.
Yeah.
And it's just like a lot of it's just a little unorthodox because he doesn't have the tennis strokes. He doesn't come from that. And he wears like these big headphones to warm up, like over the ear. He's like always talking to himself, but like in a positive way. So he's like, you know, now he's doing like Motivation Monday posts and stuff like that. Yeah. I just find him to be, he's like the first time I played with him, I would like hit a good shot. And he'd be like, great shot, Rob. Great shot. Great shot. And I'm like, is this guy serious or is he trolling me or like what's like this? But it's honestly, he's just very sincere and earnest and he meant it. And I was just like, this is a different guy. But, he's a lovely person and he's super fun to watch.
Yeah, it's super fun to be on course.
You just had to say headphones because I don't really know names of pickleball players. So when you said headphones, I was like, wait, I know exactly who you're talking about now.
Well, I troll him a little bit now because he looked very much like Luigi, the guy that shot the healthcare CEO in New York.
Oh my gosh.
He looked very much like him. So he would post videos and I would just type Luigi.
That is troll.
My only comment would be Luigi. But I did that for like a month straight, and he'd be like, his mom popped on. He's like, Rob, you have to stop.
Yeah, here you are. You're bringing it full and you're bringing it back again.
And then,
we thought that was dead. That joke was dead. Nope. Bring it back.
And then he posted one yesterday, and now he has like this little like weird mustache going across. And now he kind of looks like Benson Boone a little bit. So, I just, okay. So now I'm just going Benson. Yeah.
There we go.
They just want to sell more.
Hey, have you heard of the new Play More app?
No, what is it?
Basically, the Play More app is like a stress-free scheduling app for pickleballers. So I don't know, we've struggled a lot in group text trying to organize play. You'll set it up and somebody will just like the text. And I'm like, does that actually mean you're coming or not?
Yeah, and it's like, you never know how many people you have, like what rating they are. It's kind of annoying.
It can kind of just be a nightmare to try to organize groups because group texts are just not fun. So basically, the Play More app lets you send out invitations. You get an RSVP list. If somebody doesn't show, there's a wait list that will actually like put somebody right into.
No way.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Dang, that's awesome. What's it called?
It's called the Play More app. So you should download it at the App Store or you can go to getplaymore.com if you want to look at it online.
So when I told people that we were interviewing you and we throw it out to our fans, which are really actually just like some people I have in a WhatsApp group. But
think about the 125 people in front of you right now. Right.
I don't even know that all of them are our fans, actually.
Just haters.
Yeah, we have a few haters. Trolls.
That one person, there's always one person that gives us the one thumbs down on a video. Seriously? I'm like, how in the heck can you just be thumbs downing my MS diagnosis?
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Trolls. That's a troll.
Maybe it was Rob.
Taking him down.
Can't wait to do it to this video.
Yeah. So when I said, I asked them, I was like, you know, if you guys have any questions for him, let me know. And we got a, like 100 of them, maybe not literally, but two. And no, I'm just kidding. We have a whole bunch, but we're going to shorten them. So we have Deborah from Alexandria who says, you've been vocal about the evolution of pickleball. Maybe you have. Maybe she's just making this up. I don't know. I was like, I trust you. Vocal about the evolution of pickleball. What changes have excited you most and which ones concern you?
I think what's excited me the most is just participation and that, you know, even teaching, like I taught this clinic last week with 8 local guys from Jacksonville and just the amount of talent that's coming up and the amount of people that are playing and getting into the sport. It's just really cool to see. And it's really cool to see the growth internationally, which is a big, it's like a big passion of mine is to get international and like really help grow the sport in different places. And by like also like giving exposure to like pro players. Like I went to India for the first time in 2023, to teach there and basically to teach all their top players and give them exposure to US pros. And to see, it's like really cool to see where they were then to like where they are now. Like you have like Arman, Bhatia was in that group, Harsh Mehta, when I first went over there. And I mean, they were already very talented, but to see like now Arman's winning APPs in singles. And it's just very cool to see kind of, you know, not that I made him what he is at all, but just to go over there and maybe even just show them that like, okay, maybe this is something I want to pursue. Like I maybe played a small role in that, but just to do that and be able to kind of help answer questions for other people that want to go pro or want to just grow the sport or teach or whatever it is, make a living in the sport. Very rewarding. So that's probably like what I'm most excited about in terms of the evolution of the sport is seeing obviously the gross insane in the US, but it's like 5-6 years ago in Europe, especially like there's very few real facilities and real courts. Like they're playing on hardwood floors. Like they have the worst time slot in the community gym at like 10 PM to 11 PM because they have dance and badminton and everything else.
Well, and now paddle, right?
Paddles.
Like that's kind of taken away a lot of those people who would have gone into pickleball. Maybe, you know, they have a lot more opportunities to play that there. Here we don't have very many facilities. So
very true. And there's a lot of paddle facilities in Europe. Dubai, where I was at in May or April, the facility where they have the pickleball courts had, I think, 8 paddle courts and then like 4 pickleball courts where they took away 2 paddle courts. But I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the US too, is pickle slash paddle facilities because yeah, I just talked to my buddy Mike, who lives in like outside of Cleveland, but Dayton, Ohio, and he's building a place called Black Barn Pickleball. But he's going to expand. I think, I don't remember how many courts they have initially, but they have more land and they're going to do 2 paddle courts and then some more pickleball courts. And I'm like, I'm not big on this whole paddle trend. What are we doing? It's let's stop it already. But he's like, there's, you know, it's there. We're the only 2 courts. We'd be the only 2 courts in like a huge radius. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it will fill up. It just will. Like there's just such low demand. No, there's just low supply of paddle courts.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be like the pickleball players are going to be the new tennis players who are going to be like, oh,
gross.
Coming in here. That was just totally changed, taking our courts
and hitting balls off walls. What are you
doing? God, I know.
Poor sport, guys. No, 100%. But on the other side of that question, what maybe it's frustrating a little bit is I don't want pickleball to lose the strategic advantage it has in terms of playing. And I think the hot paddles going to like singles is now just really, you know, serve and forehand, like similar to what, you know, you have a big server in tennis, like a Isner or somebody that hits a massive serve. It's just boring to me. Yeah. Like I'd rather see long rallies. And I think you get that when you have more spinny paddles versus power. So I'd rather crank up the spin, tone down the power, and just keep it like a nice strategic finesse based game. And I just think it's more fun to watch. It's more fun to play. I'm not a big advocate of like power pickleball. I just think it's very fun to watch or play.
Yeah. And it's getting scarier for
big time
for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. Deborah also asked, how do you handle criticism, whether it's coming from fans, fellow players, or even your own inner voice?
Cry.
Yeah, good. Drink. What else?
I mean, all the coping mechanisms, whatever. Yeah. I mean, there's lots of stuff. You know, you, like you said, when you're in the arena, you're gonna have people say, you'll have people say positive things, you'll have people say negative things, and you just have to remember that you're putting yourself out there and you're doing it and you know what's true. And you know, I sleep very well at night. So, you know, that's what's most important to me is like knowing who I am and knowing I'm a good person and, you know, letting the rest fall where it may.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We went to, in Naples, we watched some woman play, I forget her name, but the crowd just started booing her. I was like, if that was me, I would cry. Then I would just probably leave.
But people were booing her. Was it a pro match?
It was. Oh gosh. And this is someone who I should know the name of. And I can't remember because she's a volleyball player. No, she wasn't. Maybe she just looked like a volleyball player.
She's tall, blonde.
Jill Braverman, probably.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Jill Braverman. I should know that.
Yeah.
And I think she, you know, there was a call and then she was chirping.
Always.
And, but we were both like,
oh gosh,
booing her. We were all, and it's like all of these, you know, primarily it was a bunch of 70-year-old men out there booing this not 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
If
anybody can handle it, it's her. Like she knows what she's doing.
I would like respect. I didn't mind it at all. Yeah. I was like, all right, you go, girl.
Yeah, she was chirping. So I was like, okay, you kind of
open yourself up to it.
All right. We have another question for you from Paul. He's from Arlington. So he said, you've transitioned from a tennis background to now top-ranked pickleball pro. How did your tennis skills shape your game?
It just shortened the learning curve a lot in terms of having like awareness. I think also it's interesting for tennis players coming in now. I feel like it's much easier because the paddles are more similar to like a racket. Like one of the first few times I played pickleball, I was playing with just like the paddles back then in like 2019 were just very smooth and no old jokes. What are we doing here? But they had no grit, like truly zero grit. So like you would try to like hit topspin and the ball would just go to the bottom of the net and you're like, okay. But if you do that now, like the ball actually lifts. Yeah. So I feel like it was tough back then because you really had to learn the soft game without spin. And now you can like really roll balls and get top spin. And it's made a little easier for tennis people to come into the sport and get good more quickly, which, you know, there's a good aspect of that because you're getting more people playing and the level's coming up quicker. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it's like,
I don't like it. I don't like playing against tennis players because I'm like,
'cause they just rip the ball, right? Yeah. It's just like, it's not super fun. It's it's like not where I want the sport to go. I want the sport to evolve, but like, let's keep the strategy in. Like it's a lost strategy if you can just blast balls at people and hope they miss. Like it's just not as fun.
So we played in Naples at the US Open and we had to play, we played in all skills and we had to play in the teenager group for the, you know, like the 14 to 20
or something,
9-year-olds, we had to play in that. And I'm not 14 or 29. And so I was like, I just want to play against people my own age now. You know, especially that, and it's getting worse and worse every, with the faster the paddles get.
It is. Yeah. I was just like, they let you play in that?
They did. They did.
Sounds dangerous.
I know, right? I had to wear goggles and a helmet.
Walk out with like, just body armor on.
Bubble wrap myself. That's right. Okay. We're going to go just so for the sake of time. Sorry, Paul. Paul has like
a lot
shit ton of questions. I know Paul and I don't like him that much. So we're just
okay. All right. Sorry, Paul.
Just kidding, Paul.
Steve from Kansas.
Which is our first question from Kansas.
Okay. Kansas. Thank you. Steve says he noticed more pro players are taking two steps back from the kitchen line. Why is this the new norm?
Yeah.
I think we just talked about it.
It's and you see it a lot in women's. Like most of the firefights are happening a couple feet off the line. And I think that's why I also like to see, like, I like watching Georgia and Tyra play because they play a little bit more like guys. They stay on the line. They will take kind of the roll dinks out of the air and not let them push them back. But it's just happening because of the power, especially like in the men's game, people are just trying to bag people. Like they're just trying to tag them. And you can, because if they're on the line, it's only 14 feet away and it's a hot paddle and it's hard to move, especially the bigger guys. So, you're seeing guys come off the line and you're seeing it more with against people that, you know, have good attacks as well. So if I'm playing somebody and I know they're not super dangerous, I'll stick to the line. But if I know my partner's going to leave a couple of dinks a little high, maybe, or like I'm playing against somebody that has really great speed ups, I'll take a couple steps back and just allows you some more time.
Yeah. So speaking of body bags, are you Nasty Nelson? Love it or leave it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Just right? I love it. Yeah. Why?
So fun.
I love it. I don't. Who do you guys not like it or?
Well, I was playing yesterday in an MLP event and this girl tried a Nasty Nelson me. I was like, what?
Respect.
Oh, I was mad. I was like, oh, really? You're down 5'10".
She tried to do it at 5'10. What'd you do to her?
Come on. Like,
what did you do to her? Are you talking trash?
I don't know. I was quiet that game, but then afterwards I was like, excuse you.
Start chirping? Yeah.
So it's funny. We had, you know, you saw that one game point, the Open where the girl Nasty Nelson on game point of the, fantastic. You know, right. Yeah. So we interviewed her. Now we're asking people, do you love it or leave it? I've never done it in a tournament, but I do it all the time in rec play. I think it's hilarious. It's fun, but I don't know if I would do it in a tournament against people I didn't know. Like
being on the receiving end, I'm like, if that would have hit me, I would have been so mad. That would have just changed my whole mental game. So I guess
has it ever happened to you, like even in practice or rec?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She loves to do it. She
okay,
will
good.
Just,
and it still gets you? Yeah.
Not me.
Okay.
No. Have I gotten you ever?
I don't think so.
I like to, I've done it to a lot of the guy friends I play with because, you know, they don't worry, but they're like, oh, we don't have to worry about Michelle. And then I'm like, kabow! Like, gotcha. Sucker.
I like doing it whenever I like if I'm in a new place and playing with guys that are taking it really seriously, and it's like, it's like a 3 and me or whatever. And God, just doing it to people that like are taking it so seriously.
Yeah.
And that get really mad. That's my favorite.
My favorite story is that we were playing against some friends and this guy, he like, you know, pulls a hamstring or something. He's like hobbling around the court. Oh, you know, oh, I hurt my hamstring. Oh my. And, or I'm like holding my calf,
yeah,
my hamstring, like, I mean, my hamstring. and so finally he's like, he comes back to play and I was like, are you good? Are you sure you're good? He's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, you don't need another second. He's like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm like, all right, here we go. You know, 5-8-2 and I just serve it and I nasty Nelson right away. And that was the funniest one because he was
a wounded duck. You got a wounded duck.
Beating him while he's down. That's sad.
Right, so that's how ruthless I am.
Oh, okay, I like that.
Good nasty Nelson, one pro player during a tournament match. Who would it be?
Oh, I mean, there's some obvious answers, but let's go non-obvious. let's go.
I'm going to bring it up, but it's if you want to bring it up.
Let's go Will Howells.
Why? Because he loves it or because he will hate it?
Just because.
He will love it.
He's a very annoying person to play against and has been since he, like, well, since I first played him, I think. I don't know if it was last year, but he's just always like grinded my gears a little bit. I like him. I like him off court.
Yeah.
I don't mind him on court, actually. He's just kind of like, he's just one of those guys that just like, just irks you a little bit.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You need to shut him down a little bit.
Irks you.
All right. But, I like it.
Yeah.
All right. That was good. Okay. We've moved on now, in case you haven't realized it, to our rapid fire questions, even though we're not very rapid fire.
Yeah, it's not really.
All right. Hope you guys are ready for your part of the interview.
I know we are because we're almost done. Those are like over here. We're like, maybe he'll run out of time. We'll have to do it.
Okay. Let's see. If you could have any superpower on the court, what would it be?
Invisibility.
Nice. That is actually a good one.
Right?
Right? Like you could, they don't know where to hit it.
Yeah. Right. That's right. That was a good one. Okay. If you had to pick one pro player to fight beside you during the zombie apocalypse, who would it be?
Pesa Teoni.
Why? I love the whys.
Why?
Do you know who it is?
I don't know any of these people you're saying, but yes, no, I don't.
He's a unit. But his thighs are the size of my torso. And he's just a little unit. He's like a bowling ball that would just crush through people. That's why.
Which is what you'll do. You're just gonna
ball them up and roll them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you would probably outrun him and then he's stuck behind for the zombies. Okay, so in one of your videos I watched, because I did some research, I noticed your tattoos on your arm. So do they have any meaning, and which one's your favorite? You don't have to go into like the meaning if you don't want to, but which one's your favorite?
Yeah, I got three. I have one that says Memento Mori, just facing me. I got one that says Amor Fati, which is basically a love of one's fate. So no matter what happens, don't just accept it, but actually embrace it and love it. And then I have another one just kind of on my left wrist. It's just like little mountains, just because I love the mountains and it makes me feel at home. Yeah.
So I just got my first tattoo, my very first one, like 2 days ago.
No way. What do we got?
A picture. You want to see it?
Yeah.
Hold on. No, I'm just
I was like, it's cliche, but yeah, sure.
I'm kidding.
We'll see the butterfly.
Tramp stamp. This one right here. We don't have to get into it, but I just was going to pretend like I was going to pull my pants down and show you my ass or something, but it's not really there. Here it is. But there it is. It's just like a female warrior. So anyways,
when I meet
you in person one day, then we can...
Yeah. Then. Show the real tattoos.
That's right. That's right. The one I can't show on it.
Yeah. No, I got mine. I only got mine. I was never a tattoo person. And I was like, but I'm not also very, like, I'm not like wildly against it.
Yeah.
There was just never anything that like was meaningful enough for me. And then, you know, go through hard times and stuff becomes meaningful.
Yeah. So, well, for me, I was too scared that my mom was going to get mad at me.
She always says, never get a tattoo. Oh my God.
Yep.
I'm not against tattoos, but I don't well, I have stuff that's meaningful enough, but I'm like, can I really like forever. Have this on my skin forever? But is it true that once you get one, you want to get more? Because three now, if you weren't a tattoo guy.
Well, I got two out of the gate and I've only gotten, I only got the mountains one, which I think's like, it's more of like just, yeah, just. But ever since that one, I got that one 2 years ago. I haven't, like, I don't have an itch to get another one. Like,
yeah.
Where are you from? Where's the mountains? Which mountains?
So I went to school in Asheville, but I grew up outside of Atlanta. So North Carolina.
Okay. Cool. Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's more high maintenance, podcast guest or pickleball partners?
Or pickleball hosts?
Today, the answer is
high maintenance. I would say partners probably.
Yeah.
Partners. Yeah. There's just a lot more going on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Everyone has their own egos out there.
Yeah.
All right. If you had one shot at a celebrity pickleball partner, who would you pick and why is it Ryan Reynolds?
Oh yeah. He's a handsome man.
Isn't he?
Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Gosling, any of the Ryans.
Any of the Ryans, right?
celebrity partner. Oh gosh. I mean, honestly, Ryan, let's be pretty
cool. Yeah, I know. Okay. All right. See, I already answered it for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now I can't stop thinking about how handsome they are. Really, really threw me off.
Okay. That is all we have. I mean, we have a couple wrap-up things, like if you want to talk about what's still on your bucket list and, you know. Oh, actually, I have one more. We're interviewing Lee Whitwell later this week. Any questions you think we should ask her? Any advice for keeping her in line? Anything like that?
You can't keep her in line, though.
Okay.
You cannot. Ask her about number 31, though.
Okay. I'm going to need to write that down somewhere. Well, when we edit this, rewatch it. Okay.
Okay. Definitely write it down.
Yeah. Brain fog. I'm like,
put it on a chalkboard.
Tattoo gun here. I'm just going to.
Yeah. Dip the little pen in the ink. Yeah, and then have the little candlelight and just.
All right. Okay. So I'm nervous now, but we're going to hand it over to you.
But should we sign off on our?
No. Well, no. You don't want us to sign off.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay. Bye.
Nope.
So much.
Nope. This is all part of the podcast.
Oh gosh. I feel like you planned this.
I'm just curious about, like, obviously Behind the Paddle is about people building in pickleball, helping grow the sport in their own way. Mm-hmm. And you guys are doing that by having a podcast. So how did you find pickleball first and foremost? When did you find pickleball and how did that lead to starting this podcast?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. I found pickleball through my grandma, which is her mom. So, and it was right after my dad passed away. I knew the sport, like I played once or twice before with my grandma, just like hitting around, but actually learning how to play was right after he passed away. I was like, I need something to get my mind off this because this is terrible. So she took me out to the courts and we played game and I was like, wow, this is for old people, because she brought me with all of her old friends. So I was like, okay, I'm this young girl just playing with these old people. Yeah. So, that's how I first got introduced to it. And then we started playing together. She started playing before me, but we started playing together and we were like, wait, this is awesome. Cause it was something that just totally took away all of my problems in life. I was like, this is such a fun way to just keep my mind off things. And so I think that's what really triggered it, was that, you know, just letting go of everything and just focusing on that.
Yeah. When you're on the court, you can just like, is what you're focusing on.
In the moment. Yeah.
There's
finding things that like bring you into the moment like that and make you fully present where you don't think about anything else is like, once you find those things, you just got to keep doing them.
Yeah. Right. And for me, I was playing volleyball. It was my career. It was, you know, my social life, and I got injured and couldn't continue playing. So everything just kind of dissolved, and that was in a bad place there for a bit, because I'm a super competitive person. And I'm like, okay. And I tried woodworking. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take up crocheting and then like, just none of it was fun. It was just like, okay, I'm doing it. But then I wanted to like beat somebody other than like stabbing someone with my knitting needles. Like, I couldn't figure out anyway. Right. So my mom also brought me out there with all of her old friends, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm actually pretty darn good at this compared to Connie and Susie. And
I felt awesome. I was like, I am so good at this sport.
Yeah, this...
Now I'm just like stuck here. I'm like, all right, good. Well, I'll stay here.
Yeah. Love it. Then,
but I'll tell you, I got my ass handed to me numerous times by those people. You walk out on the court and you think that you're going to crush someone, and they walk out there and these ladies are just like killing me. Now I have, what do I need to do to get better? Yeah. What do I need to do to beat Marty and Regina?
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to take them down. So that's kind of how, yeah.
And then we got started with this podcast because what we were talking about before, we wanted people to relate to us in ways that, you know, it's talking about the hard things in life and knowing that we can be an outlet for someone, because, you know, I find therapy in podcasts like Mel Robbins and Jay Shetty. Mm-hmm. I love them. They're so inspiring. So for us, we were like, well, what if we tell people our stories and maybe they can relate to us? Because I like try to relate towards my audience who are my friends and people my age and going through your 20s. I'm 26 right now. So like, 20s are hard and it's confusing. And then we wanted to bring pickleball into it because we play together, which is a super cool thing that not a lot of people get to play with.
Very cool.
Especially at a competitive level. I think that's another really unique aspect to it. So we wanted to kind of show people like our banter and our relationship. And
yeah.
What do you think?
I do think.
No, I think with us playing together, that really was therapeutic for both of us too. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it becomes like another reason to go to therapy because sometimes
it gets harder
and harder to play on the court. And, you know, the better she's getting, and then, you know, my growth is like, you know, like this, and hers is like, her trajectory is like that. So she's surpassed me. And so I think it's becoming more frustrating for her to play on the court with me, and she shouldn't be playing on the court with me all the time.
Sometimes.
But it is cool that you can kind of cross generations and still be super competitive with it. It's really unique in that aspect.
And now I say sorry to my mom because, you know, she's not wanting to play with me as much. I'm like, Mom, I'm so sorry. All those times I said, take me back.
Exactly. I'll play. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Will you please ask me?
Love it. So first off, big props for combining kind of pickleball with like the personal side of what you guys are, you know, battling against and going through. I think it's really cool. And it's a little bit of where like I see my journey going in terms of, obviously, identity has been pretty wrapped up in pickleball the last 5 years. But, you know, as health things, life happens, and I see myself also shifting more into like advocacy stuff with ostomy and Crohn's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, pickleball has obviously been a big part of my journey, but I don't think it's going to be my focus, call it 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a bigger mission at play now, which is super meaningful to me. I think that's just super cool that you guys are able to intertwine pickleball with your personal journeys, because most people, I would say, start a pickleball podcast based on pickleball. And I'm not saying yours is a pickleball podcast necessarily, but that's what I like about it. I think there's so much room for kind of intertwining the personal journey with the pickleball stuff. Cause again, like pickleball is so wide and broad in terms of who can play it.
And we didn't start it as, in fact, we were going to do very little about pickleball when we first started the podcast. Yeah. We were thinking, well, we wanted to talk about our lives and our journey and our struggles and our triumphs. And it just quickly evolved into the pickleball because those are the opportunities that kept on presenting themselves to us, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously, we have so many volleyball or pickleball friends that they
are fans too.
Fans and friends.
Yeah, fans and friends.
And friends. Yeah. And that's what they wanted to hear about. And then when I started reaching out to you guys and you guys were saying yes, I'm like, it's a pickleball podcast.
But now we're going to get right back on the right track.
Maybe not. No, this is the right.
No, I know,
track.
But you know.
You're saying that Rob isn't good enough.
No, sorry, Rob.
No, but it is like, I'm a little pickleball, but I'm also a lot of not pickleball.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why we we're really excited to have you on because of your journey with Crohn's. I think it's really unique for people to hear, like, you're a great pickball player, but like, you're also battling things that like other people battle as well. And for people to hear that, you know, maybe now people who have Crohn's disease will go try out pickleball because you're showing them that you can do it and you can do a hard thing. So I think that is really inspiring too.
100%. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's meaningful. Yeah. I don't know if you got, Michelle, I don't know if you've read this. It's a book I picked up. I started reading it, but this is all pretty heavy. It's called Body Grief, though.
No, I have not. Hold on. Let me tattoo that to my arm. So I don't...
But just, yeah, it's like for anybody that's gone through changes with their body, whether it's either being pregnant or having a kid or like whatever it may be, if your body's just changed.
Body grief, you said?
Body grief.
Okay.
I would have more to say about it if I've read it, but I haven't. I bought it.
Oh, you want me to read it first, and then if it's good, you'll read it.
I'm just saying, we'll share notes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No, I have not read it, but I will definitely give it a go and let you know what I think of it.
Cool.
I'm always looking for some new things to read, especially.
Well, I got a good list, and that's what I'm doing. Like the newsletter on the personal side is like right now I'm reading a chapter a day of a book called Meditations for Mortals. And then I kind of weave my kind of day to day in with whatever the lesson is in the book. I've had fun with that, and I'm going to just keep doing new books after that. So a little book club style newsletter, which is fun.
Well, are you saying I'm trying to think, I've seen the quotes or what you've pulled, the things that you've pulled from the book. Are you mentioning the book each time?
Not each time, because
only because maybe I'll just follow along when I know that you're on that book. I'll read it and then I can read your writing about it. This would be really cool to kind of keep in line with what you're doing.
No, 100%. I should make it probably the title of the newsletter every day, like chapter.
You're doing well.
Just think people know what you're talking about. Yeah. Right. So what is obviously a million followers and subscribers is the goal, but what beyond just kind of sharing your stories and having people relate to you, have you guys done anything else in terms of like putting yourself out there and creating content like this before, or is this kind of the first go at it? And what is like kind of the goal in terms of growing and all of that?
So the experience I have had as far as, you know, not exactly what we're doing now, but I had a business in the past. I actually used to baby proof people's homes for them. Cool. So I had like a little blog that I did there, and I would push content for that kind of for that. When I was coaching volleyball, I put some stuff out there, nothing like we're doing now. This is totally different. I think our long-term, I don't know if we really have like a long-term, long-term goal, because we weren't even sure how. But I think we would want to, for me, I'm loving the blog side of it also. I just feel like this gives me two creative ways to paths I can take. And this one still has a full-time job. And so she can't put as much into it as I can. And then, so I'm just during the day, like, Jordan, come on, Jordan. What are we going to do now, Jordan?
Mom,
Jordan,
I'm on a meeting. Jordan, like, you got to give me 3 seconds. Hey,
look,
please.
We have all these really cool things we can do. Come on, Mom. And so for her, so that's why I started the blog, actually. A little bit of your inspiration, but also it's give me something to do while I'm waiting for her to
come
get
on. Come on, Jordan.
I know. Just like bottlenecking here. Yeah.
Guess I'll start a blog. I guess I'll start something else.
20 item list to do. She's like, have you done any of it? And I'm like, no, Mom, I'm in a call.
I'm like, can we at least get the swag done?
Yeah. Like, okay, Mom, when you start paying me my salary, then I'll be available.
Yeah. Well, what I told her is we need to start making money so you can quit your job.
There you go.
And then I can play pickleball full time. And then it'd be like, best of both worlds.
So I think that is our goal, is that we could make this maybe one day into something that could supplement her income.
Or replace it.
And maybe pay me back for all this equipment.
Replace it and surpass it. We'll see that.
Yeah, exactly. What would you say for you?
Oh my gosh. Just making money, I guess.
Yeah, let's go.
I think mine is more.
Paid.
Yes, exactly.
Show me the money.
I'm like, when is the money supposed to come? How many subscribers do we need?
All of a sudden, we went from 128 followers to 2.
Yeah. Like, I'm doing this for a mission. I believe in the purpose of this podcast. Where's the money?
Yeah. They said they were doing it for us, but reality is,
yeah. No, I think it would be interesting, well, long term, just to kind of have like a
movie deal
established. Yeah. I'm putting myself out there if, you know, talent agencies want to, you know. Yeah, I think just putting ourselves out there and having a well-established channel for, you know, people to come to and be recommending our channel to other people that they, I just want to be Mel Robbins. Like, how hard is it?
Let them, you know.
Let them.
That's right.
But yeah. No,
she is
amazing.
Brené Brown's a good one.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, from a year from now, I would love to have like, okay, we're established, we're making a little money. People are thinking we're their
people are buying our swag.
Our How about swag. That?
Let's start with we sold a t-shirt or two.
Yeah. No, we don't even have a design yet. We're just kind of
so it's so funny.
I'll definitely wear it if you make it.
Okay. There we go. Okay, well, we'll send you a free one, and then you just have to pay for the shipping and handling.
I'll pay for the shirt. Depending on what it says.
Yeah. Rob Posse. No, it's funny. This is what I know what my goal is. I forgot. So we were at the open and someone says Michelle Spar, and we were out there just hanging out on the pier, and I turned around, I'm like, oh, Jordan, she must know us from our podcast. She's
love
like
it.
She says, is this your purse? I think you left it down there a bit on the pier. And I had to dig through it to find your ID. And I'm like, ah, dang it. So like she crap. Didn't know us from our podcast. So I would like to be known for someone. Maybe will see us and call, shout us out and say, Jordan, Michelle.
Yeah.
Like, I would almost guarantee you keep doing this. What's the frequency of the podcast?
Whenever we feel like it. No, we've been pumping them out there. We're pushing them out there like weekly. Once a week or so.
I would say not to give you guys advice because I know you know what you're doing.
No, we want advice. No, we do not. No, we have no freaking clue what we're doing.
Yeah.
And this is something that I haven't done, or Selkirk hasn't done, not me, Selkirk. Post same day, same time every week, whatever one, like Wednesday, 9 a.m., whatever. Just make it the exact same time, exact same day each week. And if you do that till next US Open, I would almost guarantee. That no, I would guarantee you, and I'd put money on this that you wouldn't be able to go that week without people saying like, "Thank you for the podcast."
Oh, okay. All right, we're doing it.
Thank you.
That means you have to like no more bottlenecking.
Okay,
one talk a week.
That's easy.
Easy. And your mom's bored, so she give her something to do. Give her editing.
I'm like, Mom, you can do an episode without me. It's okay. She's like, but I don't want you. I'm like, okay.
You can create like a little mannequin and act like she's there and she's not talking back.
I will.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Perfect.
I did do one. I
don't
did
tell her
one
that because I heard well.
Right. And all of a sudden, George's like, when do I get to be on? I'm like, oh, let me, I'll pencil you in and next
yeah.
week. No.
So that's the, that I can't, like that. I can't
I
wait
will,
for
I
this.
Totally do that.
Can't wait no, for the check in then. Next US Open.
Yeah.
We'll bring t-shirts for everyone too. So then everyone's walking around with this mom.
Oh, yeah. Just the army. Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I need to get my
that's our goal.
You got the goal. Yeah. Forget like subscriber numbers. Just that's yeah.
That's just want... long gone. Once we didn't get 1,000 off of our first video, I was like,
where is everybody?
you record it, they'll come. Well, apparently not.
Yeah. We had like 650 filler words the first episode. I was like, this is good. This is great content for people.
Like, oh my gosh, like I don't know, like
how I am.
Like, oh yeah, like and then
bad.
And about I don't know, it took me about 30 hours to edit all those out and
you're supposed to have the autofiller remover.
I didn't like how they sometimes took out an I wanted to keep.
Yeah. That's a good That's an important Yeah, that's fair.
Oh yeah, no, it was.
Well,
I
will share this. Obviously,
thank
Selkirk
you.
will share this on their channel as well.
Thank you, Selkirk.
Selkirk's got a decent little following. So look, maybe the floodgates are about to open.
I feel it. I'm gonna before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to say something great is going to happen tomorrow. Something great is going to happen.
Well, I like it.
Whenever they post it.
Or the day after they post it.
Yeah. Hopefully will happen.
Or maybe not. And then we will be hang up our microphones.
Yeah.
Never. You can hang up your microphones, but not until after the US Open next year.
That's right. Okay.
That's such a good goal.
I like that. All right. We're going to put that.
I'm going to get a different partner. I'm sorry.
Oh, playing partner, not podcast partner. You're fine. You're fine. You're safe. You're safe.
No. Just playing partner. Just playing partner.
Oh, you have been, thank you for so much of your time.
I had so much fun. You guys are the best. And we'll have to do this again for a catch up at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hold on a minute, because now we got to get to our show notes here so we can know how to log off on this. I'm going to accidentally push the button.
At the end of each of our episodes, we like to do like little peace out. So if you throw up a little piece on
I've seen it.
Oh my gosh, he's researched us.
I think I watched the very first one, and you guys,
first episode.
It was fantastic.
Were all over the place. We were absolutely all over the place.
Undiagnosed ADHD. I was like,
we were.
She's off. Like, look at the board. I'm like, the board.
I didn't think we had a board. Then
we were scatterbrained.
Yeah. So any shout outs or to any family or mentors or anyone that you would want
to shout out to anybody that's going through something hard, you know, you're not alone. And by tuning into this podcast, you're going to know that.
Yeah, that's right. You got us, baby.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and share it with someone who could use Rob Nunnery's insight, honesty, and all-around greatness. Thanks, Rob, so much for coming on today. We appreciate it.
Too early.
Cut the scene.
Retake.
He's like, get me off this. Peace.
Can I say peace now? Can we peace out? Oh, yeah.
Say it, Mom.
No, we're including all this.
All right. Seriously, though, if you know anyone who would like to hear what Rob had to say today, which is everyone, right?
Yes.
Please forward this along to your friends, your family, and
grandma.
And repost. Grandma.
Yeah.
Your grandma's playing pickleball. You know it. So. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
and we'll
Rob.
See you next time. Thanks, Rob.
Peace out.
All right. Peace.